Okay, well, anyway, we'll start and see where it takes us. And so this evening I thought I would do something different and just go with questions and answers and see what people had on their mind, if there was anything to do with the Ascension Journey, with Sacred Sites tours, with the 13 Gateways. With Christ consciousness, with the Celtic Church, with John of God, any of those. So I am open to answering all of those, or if you would like, I could start with something and then you can go from there. So I will take my lead from you guys.
I'm not that familiar with all any many of the things you're talking about, but some of them. Why don't you start from my point of view, start at the top, and say a few words of the Journey of Ascension.
Okay. All right. Well, the Journey of Ascension, started 2,000 years ago. But, then we kind of got lost in the Dark Ages and with Christianity and everything. And then, of course, we had where Christianity parted company with the Christ consciousness, and because the message was not being imparted fully. And so, even though Master Jesus gave the task to Peter, it was Paul who took it around. We have a lot of static from somewhere.
Yeah.
Could everybody mute?
Yeah, until you
Sure.
want to talk, and then just
How do we mute?
What's the mute thing,
star
Finbar?
six, star six.
Star six.
Star six.
Okay.
Yeah. And then to unmute, you just do the same thing again, and then that will take us back into, you can then ask a question and take you back live. And so we had the whole thing of the Christ consciousness and Christianity, where it parted company. And so you had the whole thing with Peter, and whose nickname was Rock, and that's why when Jesus said to him, "Upon this rock," because he was looked as the stable one, and then he was didn't take the mantle, so Paul came along and took it. But the whole thing was that the teaching was supposed to be the way. It was nothing to do with the church, but Paul took it into a physical church, whereas Jesus's teachings were of the way were all about coming together where two or more are gathered. And so it was mainly a church without walls and a church out in the open. And so you had all of that. And of course, to bring all that about, to bring the teachings of Christ about, you had the five initiations that after the birth of Jesus that he went through. Because you had these scenes from 500 years before the birth of Jesus, working to bring through. That's why they came into community at Mount Carmel in Israel to bring through a woman that could hold the vibration of this mystical child that was supposed to come forward, and that was their mission. And they were being guided by the Holy Spirit to do all of this. And of course, they were the Essenes. And so then along comes Mother Mary, and or Mary, whatever way you would like to call her, who I believe was an earthly incarnation of the Holy Spirit with a specific function in the world, and that was to bring through this child and to allow the second, the Christ consciousness, which was to be physically anchored on earth. It was in no way his intention to create a religion. The way was a way of living. It's like if you look up some of the ancient teachings of the Agni, the Agni teachings, and they are all about the way, and they basically came out of Russia with a guy called Nicholas Roerich, which is an amazing way of life, and it's very much based on universal law, and which is Jesus's teachings were based on the ancient wisdom and universal law, along with the traditions of the Essenes. And so, and in no way did it have holy wars or anything like that in mind. Everything came to us with love. And so that was the whole thing. And so the five initiations were, the first initiation was the Essene initiation that he went through when he was about 11 years of age. And he went through that, and after he finished that, he actually completed that with 3 days in a sarcophagus. And once he had completed that, he was then went in and spoke in the temple. And of course, after he spoke in the temple, when he was 12, that made things a little difficult. And so Joseph of Arimathea and his mother and Joseph decided it was time for him to get out of town. So they sent him with Joseph of Arimathea to Glastonbury in England. And Glastonbury, as you know, was where Joseph of Arimathea was a merchant, and he bought a lot of tin and copper and everything from the mines in Cornwall, in Ireland, and in Scotland, and because the Roman Empire needed all these metals. And so he was a trader, and he was doing all of this. So, but he was also very entrenched in the Druid teachings, because originally the Essenes and the Druids came from Atlantis. And they had, their teachers were from Atlantis. And so the Druids were giving one part of the message, and the Essenes were given another part of the teachings, of the ancient teachings. And so he came, and Joseph of Arimathea was not only on a grand master in the Druid tradition, but he was also a grand master in the Essene tradition. So he was a grand master in both of them. And so he brought Jesus, so he spent 5 years between Ireland, England, Scotland, and Wales, going through all of the various Druid initiations. And you will find place names in Ireland and in Scotland and in Wales that represent the whole thing of Issa, which of course was the name that he was known as. And you have the Isle of Issa, you have Cahir Issa, which means the chair of Issa. You have all these different local things that are supposed to represent his time in Ireland and England and Scotland. And so after his 5 years with the Druids and going through all the Druid initiations and learning all the teachings of the Druids, he went through the initiation of 3 days in a sarcophagus, and he was then taken, Joseph of Arimathea then took him to India, where he went through all of the Hindu initiations and everything to do with the Hindus. And so, again, culminating in 3 days in a sarcophagus. Then, of course, he then came to Egypt, and again went through all the Egyptian teachings and ancient wisdom and everything else. And then, again, culminating with 3 days in a sarcophagus. And then he came back to the Holy Land, where he started his 3-year mission. And his mission had nothing to do with fear. His mission was about love and bringing love. It was the restoring of Mother of Creation, of the Earth Mother, of Gaia, back to its rightful place, so that the Second Coming could come together, so that it would give birth to the new frequency, to the new vibration. And so so that the earth could be impregnated with the energy of the vibration of the Christ consciousness. And so this is what happens every year at winter solstice. when the mother goes deepest into the womb of the earth, and then comes along the energy of the Son, of the Christ consciousness, or of the ancient wisdom, whatever you would like to call it, and they co-mingle for 3 days while the Son stands still. And then as the Son starts to move again, and our days start to get about the 25th of December, and our days start to get longer by a minute or so every day. And if you've noticed, ever since Christmas, our days are getting longer every day. And so this again is creating the vibration, the energy, the new energy that was created in that time of the 3 days of commingling is now coming out. And this year, it's about awakening to clarity. But we'll come back to that a little later. We'll continue on with the 5 initiations. And then the 5th initiation, of course, was where Jesus did his 3-year mission, and then he, which culminated with the crucifixion and 3 days in the sarcophagus. And of course, the final part of his mission, which was, of course, to bring through the Christ consciousness, so that we would be all about love and letting go of all sorts of fear. And so immediately that the his blood at the crucifixion, immediately his blood touched the water and the earth, we had to change. The second coming was now brought about. And so here it is, that was the anchoring of the Christ consciousness. And I believe that the soul of that consciousness was Mary Magdalene. And I believe that Mary Magdalene was also an earthly incarnation of Sophia, with a specific function to carry through this, the energies of the second coming. And of course, she was the teacher, and she is now, she and Mother Mary and Kuan Yin seem to, you know, are very, very powerful in the world today. And they are bringing through all of the feminine principle. And you have a lot of saints that are feminine saints that are becoming very powerful on earth today. And so it's out of the woman, out of the feminine principle, that everything comes. And the feminine principle is within each of us, whether we're masculine and feminine, or female or female, because we, within each of us, the whole goal is to be perfectly balanced within the Christ consciousness, which is the masculine and the feminine. And that is what the equaled arm cross that I wear, the Aquarian cross that I wear, is all about. Because you have the vertical as the masculine, you have the horizontal as the woman, then you have the Vesica Pisces, the two interlocking circles in the center, representing spirit and matter, heart and mind, Christ, Sophia, masculine and feminine. And then when you have the mystical marriage of the heart and the mind, you walk through the eye of the needle, the yoni, the doorway, the fish, whatever you like to call it, and that's the two the little section where the two circles come to be, where they interconnect. And that is walking you into your own chalice, into your own divinity. And that is what the Christ consciousness is all about. It's about awakening us to our divine wholeness and to us to understand that we are beings of pure spirit, and we do not need any priest or any intermediary between us, because spirituality is that flame that burns within each of us. Religion is about binding us back to God to get us, bringing us an understanding of God, but spirituality is about that flame that burns within each of us. It's creating that heaven on earth that the teachings of Jesus were all about. And nothing to do with the state religion and everything else that was created by the Roman Catholic Church and everything else in 380 with the coming to, with the lifting. Well, in 330 they lifted the with the Edict of Milan. It was Christianity was no longer outlawed, or as it was known then, the Apostolic Church. And then 50 years later, it became a state religion. And so because Rome took it on as an official religion, and that's why there was no separation then between church and state, because they used it for fear. And they used the word that came about with sin, and they came about with all of the different things. And Jesus did not die for our sins. That is, like, to me, it's a total load of bunkum. And that was not his anything to do with his mission on earth. It was in the, I think it's the 12th century, that everything to do with sin and atonement and everything else, it was under the influence of the Empress Theodora, and she was wife of the Roman Emperor Justinian, and the Pope at that time was Virgilius, and they declared invalid the law of reincarnation and personal karmic responsibility, and did away with all the gifts and everything of the spirit. And the church quickly substituted the doctrine of vicarious atonement, claiming falsely, of course, that Jesus was here to atone for humanity's sins. And so that was not any part of his teaching. And then, of course, you had the article of Anathema from the Council of Constantinople in 550, which was did away with universal law and everything that created human growth. And then, of course, in the 16th century, it was women were acknowledged for the first time of having souls at the Council of Trent. So, and that only carried by a majority vote of one at that council. So that I know that I've sort of gone away from the five initiations to take in something about Christianity and Christ consciousness. But if you have any questions on anything I have said so far, I would be happy to hear it. You just, if you have a question, just press star 6, I think, and then you can be heard again. Anybody got a question? Hello?
Yes. Hi, it's Matt.
Yes, Matthew.
That's great. I a lot of stuff there I did not know, some I did. Could you talk, so I mean, the journey of ascension is the journey that we are destined to take, as outlined, what you just outlined, becoming Christ, becoming Christ.
Yeah.
And I've been reading The Way of Mastery, which is channeled by Jesus, and it's very, very much along those lines.
Yeah.
And
that is in the Way of Ascension. It like in 1987 we had harmonic convergence. And that brought us into a whole new energy that happened in August of 1987. And that was awakening humanity to its freedom, awakening to the initiations of the five wounds and to the Emerald Pathway. It was awakening us to a whole bunch of things that would take us on to ascension. And now from here on, I'm going to talk about, what I have come to understand and what it is that brought me to the place where I am about the ascension process. In 2007, in October 2007, I was doing a Divine Feminine conference in Dublin, and then going on to London to do another one. And so we went to Scotland for 4 days. And so we were on Iona. Well, there was like about 15 or 16 people to go. And actually, it only ended up with 9 because some people got sick and some people missed their planes. It was the weather wasn't great. And some, anyway, for whatever reason, 9 of us went. And so when I was standing on Iona, in the Abbey on Iona, I got this message that we were here because we had agreed to be here, and we were here to initiate the new dispensation. And I'm going, what is the new dispensation? So I was told that we would be entering into a five-year period of transparency, but each year would have its own title. And so anyway, I went and I told the group everything that I had been told about this, about the new dispensation. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to ask for confirmation of this and see where this takes us. So about 3 days later, we're in Iona Chapel, and I'm showing one of the ladies where to stand on Iona to feel the special energy, or at Rosalind. And up walks this lady to me, and she said, excuse me, I don't like to interrupt you, but I have been asked to come and speak to you. And she said, are you open? My name is Judy, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. And are you open to receiving a message? And she said, I feel very strange asking you all this. I've never done anything like this before. And I said, yes, I'm very open to that. And she said, I am here to tell you that you're here because you agreed to be here and because of the new dispensation. And she said, does that make sense to you? I said, perfect sense. Thank you very much indeed. So now I have my confirmation. And so then at winter solstice 2007, I was told that we were now entering into the 5 years of transparency, and that 2008 would be all about transparency. And if you remember, in 2008, we had all the whistleblowers. We had transparency, of course, in our own lives. We had to deal with our own personal stuff and family secrets. And we had to go through all of that. And so we discovered that we could no longer hide stuff underneath the carpet, that it had to become out into the light. And the same thing happened in business and in government. So we had that was the first part of the awakening of transparency in government and business. And you had Enron and all those various things happen. You had the Attorney General having to resign. You had all of those things happening. And so then at winter solstice 2008, we went into, the subtitle was compassion. And so it was to have compassion for ourselves and to have compassion for all of the politicians and the people in government and the people in business that were accused of not doing the right thing. So all of that came out. And so it also got us to look and with compassion on ourselves, and to not be so hard on ourselves. It also asked us a little bit about looking, which again is happening this year, about looking at our shadow side and having a compassion for the sides of ourselves that we don't like. And then at winter solstice 2009, we went into balance for the year of 2010. And balance is all about finding the balance within ourselves, balance within our work, balance within everything. But also, balance means sacred union. It means claiming our power. It's merging and listening to the messages from within. And so that was the whole for 2010, and then for 2011, at winter solstice 2010, for 2011, the message was resurrection. And then in 2011, you had the Arab Spring, you had, you know, the little You can call it a jihad within yourself, a resurrection within yourself, awakening us up to the world about us, awakening us up to who we are, awakening us up to reclaiming our own power, and creating new forms within ourselves. So we had all of this happening within the resurrection. And it was asking us to look deeply at ourselves and claim our abilities. So that was 2000. And then at Winter Solstice 2011, we had Ascension, which is for the year 2012. And that was 25 years from the Harmonic Convention, Convergence. And then we were, of course, taking ourselves into Ascension. And in, as we took ourselves into Ascension, a lot of partnerships and a lot of friends and everything else that were in our lives that were not serving us were no longer working, disappeared. People disappeared from our lives. Lots of businesses, lots of divorce, lots of everything. In even if they didn't complete in 2011, they completed, they were all initiated in 2011. Mm-hmm. And completed in 2012. And so then at Winter Solstice 2012, we had completed the first 25 years from Harmonic Convergence, and now we're moving into a whole new level of understanding. And at Winter Solstice 2012, we went into Awakened Consciousness. And then when we went into Awakened Consciousness, we came to a new level of understanding, because we're now moving into the vibration of the fifth dimension. And the energies changed again. We had a whole bunch of different things happening. And so a major shift in vibration, major shift in experiences. And we were consciously aware. For all of 2013, we were very consciously aware. And then at spring equinox, I was told as well then for 2000 and at Winter Solstice 2012, we were going to bring in this, the new dispensation would be taking itself into another level, and we would be going through 13 steps of initiation. We would be opening 13 gateways. between the first gateway to be opened was at spring equinox 2013, and they told me I was to open that on Iona in Scotland, so I had to go to Iona in Scotland to do that. So that we were there from March, and we were the only people on the island. And on that day that we were there, as we opened this gateway, this pathway, we moved into, there was no electricity on the island that day, from 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the evening. So we had a very clear channel for opening this, very clear vibration. And it was an amazing vibration. We were in the Abbey for about an hour and a half doing this ceremony, and awakening ourselves to a whole new level of understanding. And the people who were there said that when they came home, they were much more consciously aware. They were, their healing abilities and everything had been very much enhanced. So we had all different things like that. And we were there for 5 nights. That was the instruction, and that is the first time that Spirit ever directly told me to have a group of people in a certain place at a certain time. And so it was awakening us to the pathway of the heart, and it was about creating. And so we had all of that, and that was just an amazing experience. And at Winter Solstice then, and we had awakened to the new consciousness. And then at Winter Solstice 2012, we moved into another, as well at in 2013, at autumn equinox 2013, we moved into, we had another gateway open, so the second gateway. And then we came back again to Scotland in 2013 to open another gateway. And that was Awakening to the Soul's Journey. And so we were there at winter solstice.
2014. You're talking about the 13 gateways. You're on
the 13 gateways. Yeah, but I'm trying to fathom out what year was on. 2013. Okay, winter solstice 2013. We then for 2014 we became Awakening to the Soul's Journey, and we were again back at Iona for autumn equinox that year, doing another gateway, which was absolutely amazing. And it was asking us to look at the divinity of our soul, to be aware of our soul, to the journey of our soul. And so the soul was, when we get a roadblock, the soul is asking us, when we're working at doing something and we keep getting blocked, that is the soul telling us this is not the right path. We need to look at another path. And so, and it's asking us to pay attention to our focus and to release judgment. So that they were all of the different things that were happening in 2014. And then at winter solstice 2014 for 2015, we had awakening to our own divinity. And so here again, we're being asked to look at the gifts of who we are. I am that I am. I am the Christ of God. I am that I am. And, you know, we're being asked that, look, that we are great creators ourselves. We are in charge of our own journey. We are the creators. We are our own gods. And so, you know, it's a prayer that I say every morning is, I am a point of light within a greater light. I am a strand of loving energy within the stream of love divine. I am a point of sacrificial fire focused within the fiery will of God, and thus I stand. I am a way by which men may achieve. I am a source of strength enabling them to stand. I am a beam of light shining upon their way, and thus I stand. And standing thus revolve and tread this way, the ways of men, and know the ways of God, and thus I stand. And so that to me is a centering prayer that I use, almost start off my day with every day, because it helps me to get centered. And then, as I say, in 2015, at winter solstice 2014, for 2015, we had awakening to our own divinity. And so we had all of that. And the fifth and the fourth gateway was at Tara in Ireland. And so we were connected there, and we were connected with the golden flame and the ancient wisdom of the Druids, because the ancient wisdom of the Druids at Tara, which was the seat, and was the seat of the Atlantean Druids, and it was the seat of the teachers of the Druids that came from Atlantis, that taught both the Essenes and the Druids, and they were called Kalua. So it was also the seat of the High King. So vibrationally, it's a very, very important place. And so then, this past winter solstice, it was awakening to clarity in our lives. And awakening to clarity in our lives, of course, is looking at ourselves with transparency, but it's also asking us to look at our shadow. Because how can we bring ourselves into alignment to move forward if we don't look at our shadow? And our shadow is all the aspects of ourselves that we do not like. And so, you know, we're the beggar on the side of the street. We're the anger. We're the everything that happens to us. It's asking us to look at all the aspects of ourselves that we don't like. Say we tell little fibs, or we do sort of things, or we sneak a drink when we're not supposed to be drinking, or we eat a lot more candy, and then we give ourselves a hard time. And that is not solving the problem, because we're not embracing that we have this part of ourselves, this wonderful piece of shadow, and embracing and saying, oh, I love to take a piece of candy from time to time, and, you know, letting go of fear. One of our biggest shadows is fear and greed and anger and selfishness and feeling that we're lazy. You know, there may be some aspects of us that are lazy. There may be not. And so it's for each of us to look at that each and every day and to decide what it is, and for us to look at the world within ourselves and, you know, sort of to look at what brings this out, you know, and say, how could this possibly live within me, you know, and then looking at that. And then we have the challenge of recollecting ourselves back in and into oneness and wholeness. And, you know, we look at our emotions and our anxieties and everything like that. If you could put the star six on again, whoever is having the problem with their phone, that would be very helpful. And so we look at all of the emotions and everything that's in our lives and the anxieties, and embrace them, because we're not perfect. We all have our imperfections. None of us are perfect. And of course, part of the shadow is knowing ourselves. And you know, it's also looking at our spirit and the essence of our spirit and the pure magnificence that we have within ourselves. And, you know, and letting go of all that heavy stuff that comes from fear. It's like we get a daily dose of fear every day. For those of you who have television and watch the news every day, you get your daily dose of negativity, of fear. And so, you know, and that controls. That is all about control. And so, you know, I don't watch the news because I don't have network television, so that doesn't, that's just me. I don't miss it. I don't feel that I'm missing anything in the world. And, you know, I am looking at myself, at who I am, and what stage of the second coming am I at. And, you know, some days I feel that I'm doing okay, and more days I feel that I'm not doing very well at all. And so we have different circumstances that come into our lives each day, and it's asking us to embrace that part of our lives and not go into a battle and not going into fear and not going into judgment about ourselves. You know, if you embrace it, even if we are judgmental about ourselves, if we embrace it, then judgment goes away. And we change our consciousness, of course, as well, if we look at some of the words that we can let go of to change our vibration, like try, should, have to, never, good, and bad. Good and bad are terrible, very, very negative words. And so instead of saying, somebody says to you, how are you today? And you say, I am very well, thank you. Instead of I'm good, because good, Christianity has given good and bad so many negative connotations. And so we have all of that happening. And okay, so that's what I would like to say. That's where we kind of are on it's an overview of the ascension. So if anybody has any questions about that, I would be happy to answer it.
Hi, Finbar. This is Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hi. I do have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
I am enjoying this very much and been learning a lot. I'm a bit confused as to the term gateway and why are they called gateways. You mixed that up. You happened to say that that they may be initiations. Is that...
Well, they are initiations. They're pathways. To me, they are interdimensional portals that we open. And it's like, you know, when we create the ceremony and do these whatever meditation and everything that I am guided to use, at that particular moment in time, there is a major energy. And like when we were doing the last one in Scotland, people in the circle could not stay standing the whole time while it was on. Some of them had to go sit down. And so the energy is very high, and you're like into this interdimensional vibrational energy, and it's all around you, and you are transported into another place. And vibrationally, you're totally different at the end of it. You know, you can call it them doorways, pathways, gateways. I just called it gateway because it, you know, I could call it a threshold. I use different words for it because depending on what I'm writing, but I feel that a gateway, because we step through this gateway or we step across the threshold because we are vibrationally changed by it. And every 45 days, the vibration of the world changes. We had a vibrational shift 2 days ago on the 1st of February, because that was the first vibrational shift from winter solstice. And so the first vibrational shift, and then the second vibrational shift will be on March the 21st. The third vibrational shift will be on May the 1st. The fourth will be June the 21st. The fifth will be August the 1st. The sixth will be...
That's just dependent on the alignment of the Earth to the Sun, so to speak, and the system.
It is, yeah. It's on the eight spokes. The eight spokes of the Earth. And so it goes to autumn equinox. Like autumn equinox and summer solstice or spring equinox are days of perfect balance because they're 12 hours of day and night.
So I'm getting the impression that these gateways always existed. It's just that our bodies are becoming more refined and becoming attuned to the different vibrations. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, the ancient wisdom was there. And as we move into the fifth dimension, we are attuning ourselves to these energies again. And the more we move into the fifth dimension, the more we're opening up to these energies. These energies are always there with the ancient wisdom. Thoth and everybody else brought all of these, and the druids knew how to operate with these energies. But then, you know, these were all closed down during the Dark Ages and everything else. And we had the whole thing of, as I say, the state religion, which turned around and took away all of the beautiful gifts of spirit and everything else that people had, like intuition and initiations that people went through and everything else in the so-called pagan times. They all had a major effect on people, and they were transformative experiences for people. And that's part of the problem today with young men, is that they don't go through any initiations. And so, you know, they seem to be all lost.
Right.
You know, I remember when I was growing up in Ireland, we had different celebrations and different things that happened for the seasons on these days, you know, and like in Ireland, a lot of houses now on the 1st of February would have put out a special cloth, and so that the dew and everything else would get on it. And it's a Bridget cloth. And it would be that St. Bridget would then bring you healing for the rest of the year. And if you were feeling sick or anything, you just put this cloth around your shoulder, around whatever it is that ailed you. And your house was decorated for the 1st of May. All sorts of different things happened. And so they all kind of fell away, you know, sort of, I would say, in the mid-60s.
When I was studying with the Native Americans,
yeah.
I also learned that the Irish, they are considered indigenous as well.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, and I didn't realize that until I became part of the Native tribe and community.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, before Ireland had its great Celtic tiger boom that started in the 1990s, before that you had a very pure Irish population. You had very few foreigners. You had a few Germans, a few people from the Netherlands, a few Americans, and the rest were Irish, a few English. And if you went to Mayo and the west of Ireland, and went down to West Cork in Ireland, you could definitely find and trace, and even still to this day in certain parts of West Cork in Ireland and in Mayo, you will come across the ancient Atlantean vibrations. It is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still within the people. But it is dying. You know, that vibration is dying because there's so much intermarriage and so much everything happening now.
Oh.
That a lot of this is going. It's moving to another new level.
The purity of the race.
The purity of the race. Yeah.
Oh.
Because of the ancient, they had the ancient energy of the Atlanteans. They will still carry it, and you will still get it in certain places in Mayo and where the people have not intermarried. You can feel that vibration when you talk to some of the people.
So villages there then? There.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. In the same way that when you go to France, you can feel all the vibrations of Mary Magdalene, and Mary Magdalene will come there and be with you, and you will definitely, she will give you your tasks to take care of.
Mm.
You know?
So also back to the gateways, why all the different sites chosen? For example, you went to Iona to get first initiation or the first opening of the gateway, and then you went on to Chile.
Where Spirit tells me. I get every year, like I don't know at this moment in time, I have no idea what it is going to be, what next year will be about, what the energy will be. I know that we have clarity this year, what next year will bring, I haven't been told yet. I do believe, because I've been told to do a tour to Ireland next year, for autumn equinox, so I have a feeling that I will be back at Tara again for another gateway, opening another gateway at autumn equinox next year at Tara.
In 2017?
In 2017, yeah. And it will, at 2016, it's on back, I'm back on Iona again. I don't know how many times. I was told last summer when I was in Ireland that there would be three gateways that would open at Tara. And Tara is a very ancient site, and it is a belief of mine, and I firmly believe this, that one of the Emerald Tablets, if not more, is buried at Tara. And from 1900 to 1908, a group of Israelites from London spent 8 years doing a dig there, looking for the Ark of the Covenant. And they didn't find, of course. But what I believe is there, and I've had all sorts of confirmation that it is there, is some of the Emerald Tablets, at least one of the Emerald Tablets.
Which were the wisdom of Atlantis.
Yeah.
That Thoth wrote, is that right?
Yeah. And of course, Atlantis, Ireland, it is said in the Celtic folklore and everything else, is that Ireland was an outpost of Atlantis. and it talks about all the waves of people and everything else that came in from the sky. They came in, the mythology is about them coming in glass boats, chariots, all sorts of things. And the Druids, of course, always went to the other side of the veil in a glass boat. And that's how, when they died, when they passed on, they moved through the veil in a glass boat to the other side of the veil. Mm-hmm. And so you have all of that, and that's why, you know, up to the 12th century, that's why the Celtic Church stayed where it was until the 12th century. And that's a whole other thing, because there was only the Roman Catholic Church had basically conquered the world as far as religion was concerned, except Ireland. And so you had two thorns on the side of Rome in the 12th century, and one was the Celtic Church and one was the Cathars. So they were the two thorns on the side of Rome, and they got rid of the Celtic Church first, and then they went after the Cathars. That's another a story. If anybody wanted to hear that, we could go there too.
Finbar, it's Matthew. You had one of your topics was the post-denomination world. I saw it as post-domination. In other words,
no.
after the. What maybe you can answer this question. What do you see happening with the domination of the cabal of the money influencing our world politics, 9/11 business and all that? I mean, all those.
Well, the first thing I see happening, you know, I think we will have a financial collapse of form, because we cannot continue going the way we are going, because all it is now is just printing money, it's paper money. And whoever decides, you know, whichever government decides that they want to, they're a little bit short, they need to make, they print more money, and they manipulate the exchange rates and everything else. And so it is not a true system. And so I see that, because in this time that we're in now, you know, the energy of the seven rays and the ascension process is to bring about everything that does, bring about the downfall of everything that does not serve humanity. And that is what El Moya and Ray One is doing right now. It is the whole energy of Ray One is about to bring about the demise of everything that does not serve humanity, whether it's government or business or whatever it is that does not serve humanity will eventually fall away. And I believe that a lot of this will have fallen away by 2025. And because at the end, the winter solstice 2023 is the 13th gateway. 2024 will be the final year of the energies of the gateway, where we will have peace and understanding and all of that. And I believe in 2025 we will very much go into the Aquarian Age. We will be fully into the Aquarian Age. And this is what my guidance is about, the threefold flame, where I do the meditations and everything else, is about to bring around the realignment of the new dispensation. And everything that does not, any energy that does not serve humanity will just kind of disappear. And this comes into us, of course, through the Big Dipper. Because the seven rays come down to us through is filtered to us through the Big Dipper, and so it's about letting go of everything that no longer serves us, and
so do you think we would go back to the local economy? maybe barter system, or how do you see
it? I think that we will go back. I think that it will be a much more heart-centered economy, and I think like people like the MGOs and or GMO foods and all of that is gone. I was reading a very interesting article today, and I saw it in India myself, and what's the name of this new disease that's come out, this new thing coming from the mosquitoes? Yeah. And so, anyway, that is, or this new epidemic of whatever it's called, that is a GMO manufactured, it's coming from GMO products. Because, this is what I was reading about today, and you know I'd seen these bugs come about in India, and they say that these mosquitoes that are creating this were manufactured, and they were only supposed to be male, but then it got, you know, and they don't normally reproduce and stuff like that, but seemingly they have reproduced and got themselves into our scientists lost control of it. And this is what's happening in India as well, where I have seen people that get bitten by what they just call them super bugs. And you get bitten by the super bug and your arm swells up like a balloon and it's black and blue. And this Ayurvedic doctor was telling me in India that they have no cure for this. And there is nothing in Ayurvedic medicine that will that they have come across that will deal with the swelling of this farmer's arm or the child or whoever gets bitten by this bug. And some of these bugs are so strong that they will eat the whole crop. And it's a huge problem in India with GMO products. And I know when I was living in Colorado Springs, they had a big thing at Fort Carson where all these soldiers were coming back and they had these swollen arms and everything else. And again, I think it was from all that was described to me by the woman that was working with these soldiers, that they were again bitten by these super bugs. And so, you know, and so we're in that period of well, we don't go into fear about it, but it is part of what will come to a demise with the demise of GMO crops and things. And there are a lot of people now, you know, will not buy any product that has GMO in it. So this is something that's gaining momentum. And then we have RAID 2, of course, which is Master Katumi, and it's the ray of love wisdom, and it's embodying pure love. And he's like the master builder, and it's taking on the dynamic ideas of God. And it's formulating a plan for the construction of the blueprint for the mother. And so, and then we have RAID 3, which is the Venetian, and he is the master builder. And so he is building as these outmoded ways fall apart, and as Katumi creates the new blueprint, the Venetian is there to build them. And Katumi is working with Master Saint Germain and Mother Mary to bring in the whole Aquarian age. And so they are all working on this new blueprint. So we have all of that happening. And what ray was I on? Oh, ray 3, yeah, which was the Venetian. And then we have like, there's the tree, master rays, which are the three legs out on the Big Dipper, and then you have the four, which is kind of like the square, and they are the four known as the four minor rays, and we don't have a lot of ray four people on the earth at this time. And Ray 4 is about responsible, and so 4 helps to bring through everything that is created in Ray 3, and Surface Bay is the master attached to that, and they are bringing about harmony through conflict. So we have a lot of conflict in the world today. And so, and it cultivates, anyway, Ray 4 as well, cultivates divine independence. So we have all of that. And then we have Ray 5, which is Master Hilarion, who to me is an amazing master. And they're all amazing masters, but I have some very special connections with Master Hilarion. Anytime I do spirit releasement work, Master Hilarion is all about spirit releasement, all about the dark forces. Everything like that is to do with Master Hilarion. And so it's asking us that we must think with our hearts and love with our minds. So it's asking us to open up everything to do with Ray 5. Hilarion is asking us to really look with our hearts. And if it doesn't feel right in our heart, it's not something that we need to do. And then, of course, we have Ray 6, which is the Lords of Devotion and Idealism. And Master Jesus, of course, is the master of that. This is a ray which is expressing a militant ideal, one point of devotion, and so it's like fundamentalism. And so Ray 6 is a dying ray in the world at the moment. The energy is being pulled back from Ray 6, and so it's all about fanatical religious beliefs. And it's about filling people with fear. So this is why we're kind of in the Armageddon of Ray 6. And this is why the fundamentalists are so crazy at the moment. And this is why we have, like, I don't know what you think of Donald Trump, but, you know, sorts of some of his ideas are so wacko out there. But, you know, it's bordering on religious fanaticism. And so we have all of that. And then Ray 7, which is Master Saint Germain and Mother Mary. So they are the builders of the new dawn. And so they are the divine plan as we watch the old ideas and ways of life falling away. And they are helping us to embrace the new. And so that's another aspect of what's going on with the ascension process, helping us along with the ascension process. Okay?
Umbar, this is James Packerman calling in from Tampa Bay, Florida. How are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you, Sir James. Earl LaFoy.
Just to reinforce and accentuate some of the things that Umbar has been saying, on some of the trips Umbar talked about how everything is going to completely explode, implode, and fall apart with the Catholic Church and with the Vatican and all that. And he said that up front several years ago. And then we've seen it manifest. And Umbar is talking about things that he totally has seen and knows, and those things have manifested, sometimes positively, but nevertheless they've occurred. Umbar said a couple of years back on a trip, the Catholic Church can no longer see under the carpet. It's going to come out. And Umbar was more than right. Just to kind of reiterate that and compliment man's knowledge and integrity.
Okay, and thank you, Sir James. Anybody else with a question, or would you like to finish now and we can do this again? I can put on another one of these another day.
Finbar.
Yes.
Hey, it's Karen from North Carolina.
Oh, my God. How are you doing, Karen?
Hey, a Christian sneaked on the line tonight. Look, I've been listening. I've been listening to all of it. It was great. Have a question. Working on the Greece tour.
Yeah.
Is that going to go up pretty soon on the website?
It will. It's out for pricing right now. So as soon as I hear back, the biggest challenge was getting all the islands together. But that will be hopefully I will have the price back either at the end of this week, beginning of next week.
Any hope of Tinos on the agenda?
Of where?
The little island of Tinos.
I'm trying to get that on it.
Cool.
I've asked them if they can include that for me. I've sent it off because I couldn't find all the different itineraries for the ferries and stuff, so I've sent it off to them to do all of that for me. It's right now in Athens getting all of that done.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Exciting.
Yep.
Hey, Karen.
Hey,
Dorothy.
Hey, Dorothy.
Finbar.
Yeah?
I had a question about Atlantean teachings.
Yeah.
Is there a resource you can recommend for reading up on those?
Oh, I have a whole bunch of books here on, let me see, let's have a Atlantean teachings. Okay, I have, well, one which would be, it's by Norman Milanovich, and it's The Light Shall Set You Free. It's about universal law, and it's to me, it's an amazing book. And then there is, I thought I had some book called Atlanta, do you have, it's Atlanta on here?
Yes, I am.
Do you have my book? What was the book that I gave you on Atlantis?
I don't think I have one. Just a minute.
What was this gentleman's name? Norm?
Norma Milanovich.
It's a good book. I just read it, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Atlanta.
You'll like it.
The Light Will Set You Free?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple of very good books. There's like The Bringers of the Dawn, The Teachings from the Pleiadians. There's We the Arcturians. We have, let me see now, there is another book about the Kahlua and that I have. Let me see if I can find it here. I'm trying to look at my bookshelf as I'm talking to you.
Then, Barb, you read the scenes, The Children of Light. That talks about the Kalu.
Oh, yeah. That's possibly the one that I have a whole bunch of books on the Essenes here, too.
Oh, I love that one. That's got a lot of information you won't find anywhere else.
What was the name of it?
It's called The Essenes, The Children of the Light.
Oh, yeah, I think you have that one, don't you, Finbar?
I do, yeah. That's the book I was looking for, and I'm trying to see
it. I don't have it. I don't have that one. I've got three others of yours.
Innocent, huh? Innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
That's it. You know me.
You're hoarding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have it. I found it. It's The Essenes, Children of the Light, and it's by
Stuart Wilson
and let me see what Joanna Prentice.
Good to know. I don't have to buy that one now.
And then there is a book, The Essenes. Essenes, Children. Oh, I have two books, Children of the Light. I have two of them. Okay. I have two of those. I can get you one, Atlanta. You can have a gift of one.
Oh, thank you, Pim.
And then there is another one. It's an interesting kind of book. and it's a little bit about the Arthurian and the Celtic and all of that, and it's the side wisdom of the Celtic Overworld, and it's by a guy called John Matthews. Then there is the book The Way of the Essenes, Christ's Hidden Life Remembered. And there is the Essene Gospel of Peace. And there is The New Essenes by Sophia Edwards. They're all my books on the Essenes.
Did you mention the...
Sorry?
This is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Finbar, can a lot of these titles be found like on Amazon.com, or do we have to go like looking for the publishing house?
No, I think you'd find them on Amazon.
Okay.
I get most of my stuff on Amazon.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I'm just seeing now if I have anything else here now.
Finbar?
Yes?
This is Lorraine. I'm going to say goodnight, but yes, I'd like to hear another, hope you schedule another one of these. And,
okay, I will do that.
All right, good night.
Good night. Thanks, Lorraine. I'm just trying to see what else I have here that might be of interest. Of course, then you have... Yeah, that's all I have, I think.
That's great. That's more than enough to get us going.
Yeah.
we don't have that much time before
right.
Malta,
Sicily. Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you, Finbar.
Okay, no problem. So
look forward to another one.
Yeah, I'll do another one. I'm going to do a talk next week on John of God for anybody, because John of God is not just a tour. It is a major spiritual experience. And so I want people to understand the significance of John of God. John of God is not a tour. I don't classify it as a tour.
Right.
But it
more
is...
More like a...
It is a deep, intensive spiritual experience for 2 weeks. It's a major journey within yourself. So, anyway, we'll talk about that next week.
Finbar?
Yes?
I have a quick question for you about some Amazonian healing ceremonies. I'm wondering if you are at all familiar with the ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
I've done it twice.
Yeah.
So,
I did it too.
Dorothy has done it. I don't know if there's anybody else on that has done it.
I can do it. You recommend it, so that's what I wanted to know. And have you ever done combo healing as well?
No, there's a San Pedro. It depends. Like ayahuasca, I would not do that unless it was in Peru with a good shaman.
The shaman is coming from Hawaii, but I believe he's trained down in the Amazon.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know, because I don't know anything about the person, so I can't say anything.
Yes.
But
yes.
I have seen people have really bad experiences with traveling shaman and stuff like that, and with the ayahuasca. And it needs to be done in a very sacred space. And when I take people to Peru, I take them to a temple that was constructed about 20 years ago, and it has been used for nothing else but ayahuasca ceremonies. And the man has been a shaman for something like 35 years. And I've gone to him twice myself. And I've sent possibly 30, 40 people to him over from the tours as I went through. So it is a very good experience, but I would definitely be very careful of who I would do it with. I have met people who got very sick and everything else from it. Really bad experiences. I presume it's like, you know, sort of if you get one of those pills of ecstasy or something like that, and it depends on what it's mixed with. You know, one them can they can send you on a bad trip or whatever, so I hear. You know, mm-hmm. I've not ever experienced them myself, so I don't know. And so,
right.
You know, but this is what I'm told.
Liz,
okay.
Kindle. Kindle it.
Yeah.
What?
Pendulum it.
Oh, pendulum? Yeah.
Pendulum.
Well, I've already talked with everybody, spirit,
okay.
All the archangels. I'm getting nothing but positives.
Oh, well, then.
And I've talked to other healers to have them check for me. So, there's a sound healer that is local. It is his son who is this shaman who has been doing it. So the father is here.
Well, I just checked it for you and I got an okay on it, so I think it's okay.
Did you? Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry to take things off on a tangent there.
No, that's okay. No problem. Any question is that's what it's all about. Any question.
You thinking about doing that before you go to Malta, Elizabeth?
Well, it's the 20th of this month.
Ooh, okay.
That's
well,
her Valentine's. Yeah. That's her Valentine's Day gift.
Malta.
Pardon?
You can tell us all about your experience in Malta.
I will. You can tell me about yours.
Okay.
All right, guys. So good to talk with you.
Thank you, guys,
Finbar.
Too.
Great talk.
Well,
okay.
You know, you have the full moon on the 22nd of February, so you'll be doing it at a powerful time. You'll be in the energy of the full moon.
All right.
Yeah.
Good to know, Liz, right?
Yeah.
You might need it with ayahuasca.
Well, Dorothy, yours was different time.
Huh?
Dorothy's was sure. Different time.
Everybody has their own special journey on it, you know.
We'll talk, ladies.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to hang up, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Finbar. Okay.
Thanks, Finbar.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Hope to see you soon.